heard it as I was saying.
Yeah. I'd like to, again, say I held back. I did not
very
say
much
that.
So. Thank you.
That's some good high-quality self-control.
Yeah.
Alex is the master of self-control.
Welcome to AEC Presents. I'm Alex.
I'm Jared.
I'm Laura.
Greetings, programs. I'm Adrian.
We are back after a short hiatus of defecation hitting the oscillation, is the best way to put it.
Yeah, sure. Right.
There you go.
I like hiatus.
It works.
I usually put it with my little chow mein and just...
Yeah. I'm more of a ramen guy myself, but you know, whatever.
Ramen.
Anyway, so we are back, ladies and gentlemen. We are still going to talk about the book Manhattan Project. We're going to talk about that later.
Oh, right.
I know we teased it last time.
That's Adrian's the book excited. Club book.
I'm more excited for next episode's book, personally, but...
We'll get there when we get there.
But we'll get there when we get there. In the meantime, Laura, what is our subject matter for today?
I want to say the Manhattan Project.
No, I meant like the actual first section of the podcast, our topping discussion.
Because of the Manhattan Projects, it's sort of a very take people you know from history and put them in a blender and make up a really weird story that is kind
Gross.
Of scary. Yeah.
You
yeah,
put people in blenders?
Did you not get that impression from this story?
Yes.
So, right on the nose.
Again, I'm holding great restraint right now by not saying what I'm thinking.
But yeah, so I thought I wanted to know more about other historical figures who have been... Like, they told a story about them that completely twisted what they were really about. And I did
mean,
a bad job.
Is that most fictional, like...
Inspired by a true story.
Yeah, right. Even those, like, take a look at Return of the Titans. That had, like... He had, like, a wife that had left him, hadn't died. He actually had, like, 5 kids. It was not even the right year, I think, that they were talking about.
I'm not familiar with that story, but we could bring that up. Yeah.
So that reminds me of not being the right year thing. So part of the inspiration for this whole episode was Laura and I went and saw the movie Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
But speaking of the wrong things with that, I love the fact that when they're celebrating everything, the American flag has 50 stars. Fun fact, we did not have 50 states in World War II. We only had 48.
Yeah.
So the flags they were using were wrong.
In
I did not
Manhattan
know that.
Project?
In the movie Oppenheimer.
Oh, in Oppenheimer.
Were there flags in this book?
Which is funny because they're all like, oh, we don't want CGI. We're going to do real explosions, you know, be authentic. Okay, well, you got the wrong flag repeatedly because, yeah.
In World War II.
Because Hawaii was just a territory. Alaska was still owned by Russia, I believe.
Yeah, we hadn't purchased it yet.
So, we only had 48 states. Because Alaska, I want to say not till the
60s. Hawaii was in 59.
And I think Alaska was after that, maybe. Like 62 or something like that.
It's funny because I always tell my kids, in 59 was Alaska.
Okay.
I always tell my kids, don't just ask the HomePod questions. Like, go look it up. And then here I am looking stuff up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good for them.
At least I know where to look.
Yeah.
You don't just
Wikipedia.
Ask
I mean, still reminds me. I had a college professor that cited Wikipedia as a source. I was like, I was told not to ever use Wikipedia because it's open source. And the justification I have come up with, they didn't say, but it's like, well, some of the stuff you look up is only done by nerds and they'll know what's right or not.
Sure.
So at a certain point, like if it's super specific, just take it for their word. Like it's probably true. Mm-hmm.
I guess to me, too, like a lot of Wikipedia at the bottom, it has more sources.
They do now, yes. Yeah. But when it first started coming out, it didn't have. Because like anybody can create a profile and change anything any way you wanted.
Correct.
Which they still do some things. You can still do that. But it might get corrected by somebody else. Other people or whatnot. But I was like, oh, well, I mean, who's going to take the time to do it unless they're a nerd? So chances are they probably know what they're talking about with this super, super, super specific thing. But anyway, alternate history stuff, speaking of Wikipedia, Jared, you have a printout of things.
Yeah,
so you seem
he's the
prepared,
most ready.
Or you just copied and pasted it and just printed it off.
Oh, no, I prepared thoroughly.
Yeah. So go ahead.
I wasn't sure which way to go. I did a couple superhero style, and then I did some like alternate histories, like East of West was one of my top ones. I think we had read that for the podcast, didn't we? So.
Yep, we did.
It was basically set in a dystopian setting where the Civil War never ended. And these six warring parties come to a place to do to meet at an armistice, and they basically sign a treaty forming the Seven Nations of America. And there's a couple of them that the leaders, I can't think of their names, but they collapse instantly and die right after they give prophecies. So the book kind of leads off from there and goes a lot further. But it was a interesting way to put, like, the Civil War never ended. You know, it's been, what, 200 years since, or after that, and it was still going on, and they finally come to a treaty and everything 200 years later. I mean, it's basically how long America's been a nation, you know? Mm-hmm. So I thought that was pretty interesting, and as my first pick, that was a no-brainer to add that to the list.
Yeah. I'll go next because that just reminds me of another no-brainer. As soon as Laura suggested this subject matter, I immediately thought of Watchmen. Like,
yep, that's on my list too.
Top of the that's the first one, or oh, where United States won the Vietnam War and it became the 51st state and everything. It just now again, it's definitely not the truly based off the real world because it has superheroes involved and stuff like that that are non-real people, even they just like
right.
But I do like the, especially when HBO did their series of Watchmen that took place in the present day of it, and like, oh, and here's how that pans out of forcing another country to be a state, right. And not to, yep. And just being, you know, in that whole region and like not even connected at all to everything else.
Right. I wasn't a big fan of the Watchmen. I liked the concept and I liked the detective part of it where the comedian was murdered.
Yeah.
And we're going off from there and political things happen. You know, the big blue guy destroys people and so forth. And, you know, it was, I don't know. It wasn't my favorite story.
Well, Nadir and I have discussed if it still holds up right now, like compared to when it first came out in the 80s mm-hmm. versus like, okay, now it's 2020s. Does it really hold up?
Could be why I'm not a big fan of it too. Maybe it just doesn't hold up.
Sure.
I think there are parts that do hold up, but there are parts that should just be gutted out. The whole freighter, the cursed freighter or whatever, you don't need to read that at all. Like, I hated that part of the story. Like, I got to a certain point, like, okay. When I read it the first time, I was like, oh, I'll read everything because here's it all. When I got done, I was like, what was the point of this? Like, it's not even a metaphor for anything. It's another story within a story that only ties into because one of the kids on the street corners is reading that comic book they're reading. Like, okay, I appreciate that Easter egg, but also why?
Right.
So I know when I've reread the book.
Easter egg that drug on.
Right. I know when I reread it for when we did book club before, I was like, I'm just going to skip that part completely because it's a lot to read and that's dense and it's just
bleh. It's heavy too. But Watchmen has a strong fan base, you know, that really mm-hmm. love it. I just got to say it's not for me, you know?
Yeah.
But I appreciate for what it is.
Yeah. They talk about a lot of things in that. Like, mm-hmm. okay, what about the girl being raped? The
right.
pregnant woman getting murdered? Like, there's a lot going on in there that was very risque and pushed the envelope. Because it was shortly after the Comic Code Authority was worthless, if I remember correctly. Hmm. So that was one of the, okay, we can do whatever. So here we go. We're going to do whatever now. And it's sort of, I mean, it's published by DC Comics, but it's not in continuity to anything. Yeah,
no, it was done by Vertigo to begin with, wasn't it?
Originally, yeah.
I believe so, yeah.
And then Vertigo doesn't exist anymore, so it's a DC title now.
Right. I mean, and they've done stuff since then with Doomsday Clock, where Dr. Manhattan has somewhat joined the DC universe from a certain point of view. I'll be honest, I never read that book because I read the first issue and it took 2 years for the whole thing to come out.
Well, that's the thing. It took so long in between issues by the time one came out, I was like, I have no idea what happened.
I think the final issue came out like 4 months later than the previous issue. It was just, okay, you want to kill a title? That's how you kill a title.
Right.
I mean, luckily it's a miniseries, but
right.
Come on, man. That's
awful. I can't even tell you what all happened in it. Because you lack caring. And
there was like a one clock came out, and a smiley face with some blood on it.
There you go. Which,
was disappointing because it was set up in the Button story with Batman and Flash. Like, oh, right.
That was like a great setup. That was a
2 or 3 issue setup. Like, okay, this is cool. We're going to go to this. Even that took like 3 years before they did Doomsday Clock to start with.
Which I was okay with because it was a teaser and then it was supposed to lead into something that just...
Yeah. It was a teaser that kicked off the Rebirth universe, wasn't it? Or was it the New 52?
I think it was Rebirth. No,
it was after New 52.
Okay, I thought it was Rebirth, but I couldn't... It was all blurs together at this point, but
the non-reboots,
right? So like that was a cool beginning,
right?
And
just fell flat.
So I am curious to read it at some point because I wonder if it will read better in trade, just so you actually read the whole thing.
Could be
instead of waiting 2 years to read the whole thing.
I mean, usually stuff like that does read better in trade,
right?
I'm hoping that Dark Knights of Steel reads better in trade.
I'm there with you because Tom Taylor has this is the first. So far, disappointment I've had for Tom Taylor.
Dark Ages kind of fell flat.
But
it felt rushed.
It was rushed. I understand that rush. We're getting off topic. But because he signed his exclusivity with DC, so they're like, okay, we're not going to do anything else, so wrap it up, you're done. I feel like that's where that was rushed the way it was.
That bugs me a little bit because it's like, I'm sure he made some sort of commitment to do a thing.
Well, he probably did the commitment of like, hey, we'll do a 6-issue story. With an option to pick it up for more, probably. Okay, well, I signed exclusivity, so that option is null and void.
Sure.
So,
I guess.
That's my best guess. Again, not a lawyer, didn't see the paperwork.
Somebody X him.
But.
Or tweet him.
Yeah. Post him, because I don't think they do tweet. I don't think it's called tweet. I think it's just called posting on X now. That's another conversation for another day. Adrian, what is one of them that is on your list?
So, I kind of went with kind of a different take on it. I was picking, like, all the Marvel Noir stuff.
Yeah.
Like, it's set in the 40s, or at least it's supposed to be, with, like, Luke Cage is, like, a detective, I think. And Tony, really, you don't really change Tony. He's still kind of a playboy kind of guy. And then the one that I always thought was really cool was Wolverine with like no powers, but was like this down on his luck detective, right? In the X-Men Noir book. And I did like the Spider-Man Noirs, both of them. There was 2 run of those.
It was the best Noir. It's funny. It was the best Noir and the best Ultimate series that Marvel's done was Spider-Man.
It was the Spider-Man because of the less rules, less new starting point. Because in the Ultimate Universe, he starts off as a teenager. And they kind of stick with that for the whole time, really, up until Ultimatum. And even the Noir stuff, it's like, okay, there is no, like, this is today is the starting point back in, 1945. But for the most part, I thought, so that's how I kind of went with the idea of, like, an alternate universe in history, even though that fits.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So the Marvel Noir stuff in general, I always thought was really cool. A part of me wishes they would have written more, but the second Spider-Man Noir kind of fell.
It was a little weaker.
It is weaker, It came off more Indiana Jonesy. I like Indiana Jones, but not mixed with Spider-Man.
Especially the conflicting, like, okay, this is, you're so trying to shoehorn his Spider-Man's regular stuff into this.
Correct.
Like your square peg, round hole sort of thing. Like it'll work eventually, but it's not a smooth transition.
Right, and the triangle goes in the square hole.
Yeah. Laura, what is the first one on your list?
I remembered a long time ago being interested in Rough Riders, which was supposed to be a collection of stories about Theodore Roosevelt and his band of people who fought in the Spanish-American War, I believe it was. And it was... I believe that the comic book went into different versions of the story from the history that was presented, but I am struggling to find more information about it. I'm sorry. I did a bad job. As usual. But yeah, that's what came to my mind first was Rough Riders with Theodore Roosevelt and a collection of his other folks.
Was that Image? Was that
Aftershock.
Oh, yeah, Aftershock. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, it says Adam Glass, Patrick O'Leaf, which I want to say that he used to draw for Spider-Girl, too.
Sometimes they have really good stuff, Aftershock does. And I feel like, that was one of those. It didn't make a huge impression, but I do remember that, now that you mentioned it.
I recognize the cover. I don't think I ever did pick that up.
Let's see. I know I've seen it in the store before, but yeah, I haven't read it either.
Yeah, admittedly, I didn't know it was about that, though, you know?
Yeah, admittedly, I don't read a whole lot of history-based, inspired by stuff. Like, oh, if it's give me like a full adaptation of like a diary or something, or that's just not for me usually.
Yeah, I'm not sure how much it was based in actual, like, I get the impression that it was not really based in any fact. It was really just, hey, what if Theodore Roosevelt and the Rough Riders did crazy adventures? Mm-hmm. So,
well, and it brought out those other characters at the time, like Houdini, Annie Oakley, yeah, that's right? And it kind of had like a steampunk feel to it. Like, those are not real guns.
Yeah.
Nobody produces shells for a rifle that big, right? That just... It's crazy.
Is it kind of like Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
That's and it one was I should have looked up, too. Yeah.
That sounds like it'd be fun for what it is. Mm-hmm.
It didn't go very long.
Yeah, maybe not. Although, one website is showing teams for each decade. It's like 1910, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, all the way up to the 2000s.
Okay.
So I wonder if they did have... like an issue for each decade?
It reminds me of the Fantastic Four. Which one came first? Fantastic Four or Spider-Man Life Story? Where they followed them through the decades?
Spider-Man was the first one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Where they actually aged appropriately.
Right.
I think DC did something like that. Their generations. They had What If Superman and Batman and everybody had aged normally. And had their kids and so forth. I got nothing.
Yeah. Me neither.
I know what you have. You have another one on your list to talk about.
Yes, I do. Gotham by Gaslight, Batman book.
That's on my list, too, because I went with that kind of like...
Yeah, do you want to go with that?
No, I've got a couple others.
Okay, so I hadn't read this one in a long time, so I had to look a couple things up. But I remember this one is set with... like Jack the Ripper coming to Gotham.
Right.
And they did a really good job with the story because it turned out that the guy who was Jack the Ripper was in love with Martha Wayne. And she had turned him down. So he got angry and actually hired an assassin to kill him and her and Thomas. Mm-hmm. And that started this whole thing. Well... he comes to Gotham from England as Jack the Ripper and basically starts killing anyone who kind of resembles Martha Wayne. And it turns out that Bruce was framed for that situation and Jack the Ripper became his lawyer during that. He went to prison, but Alfred helped Bruce escape. He became Batman and goes and stops Jack the Ripper. But it was really good just all the way around. Mm-hmm. You know, it was a good twist on Jack the Ripper and, you know, Thomas and Martha's
death. Didn't they make that into an animated movie, too? Gotham by Gaslight?
That
I think they did familiar. An anime or something like that.
Oh, okay.
Back when DVDs
were I know they did, like, a ninja thing recently.
Right.
Yeah, this like was Samurai. Years ago before streaming services. Okay. They did a Gotham by Gaslight, I believe.
Yeah, that was the old thing. Like, okay, Marvel does great live action. DC does great animation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
But Gotham by Gaslight, I thought was one of the better like Elseworlds and everything like that. So, yeah, Gotham by Gaslight.
All right. Next one on my series or my list. I only have two main ones, so this is my final big one, I guess. Is Manifest Destiny. Is at least through issues 48 at this point, with the most recent volume 8 having come out this year. But this is a story about Lewis and Clark exploring the American West.
Wait, what did you say it was called?
Manifest Destiny.
Oh, yep, that was on my list, but I couldn't find a whole lot about it, and I'd never read it, so I'm like, I'll just skip that one.
I haven't read it either, because in general I'm not a huge fan of the fantasy horror stuff, but I do remember us having this in the store for a long time of like, oh... one of these days I might read it because it's something different that you can definitely see it's inspired by, but also goes off the deep end pretty fast. Because like on the cover, it has like, it looks like remnants of like a swamp thing of some sort going on, like some weird supernatural stuff going on. But yeah, it's Lewis and Clark and Sacagawea, you know, going west, and then it is not the calm west that we know.
I thought the west was never calm.
Well, there's
it's even worse.
It's even worse when you get supernatural stuff going on there.
Yeah, the way it was, as I was reading some of the, like, this book's about things, the synopsis and stuff, I couldn't find a whole lot of actual in detail information. But I'm like, actually, this sounds like one I could, you know, pick up and read.
Volume 4, the subtitle is Sasquatch. So that alone is like, okay.
That's worth a read by itself.
Mm-hmm. That's Image Comics, isn't it?
So that went all the way to 4 volumes at least?
First, yes, it is Image Comics. And volume 8, actually, is the most recent volumes. One.
Wow. So that's a fairly popular one.
Yeah, 4 was Sasquatch. 5 was... Oh. Nemophobia? It's the MN beginning. Yeah.
You got it.
So...
Nemophobia.
Nemophobia. Okay, cool. All right.
You're afraid of Nemos.
Then we have an Amphibia and Insecta. So, like, it has a whole bunch of, like, before the West was tamed. So, it definitely seems interesting. Like, I did not know it went to 8 volumes. I'm like, all right, that's... I definitely may need to check it out since it's going that strong still.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Adrian, what's next on your list?
I went with an alternate, alternate history, even, or future, even though, like, we're not there. Just Old Man Logan.
Yeah.
Old Man Logan alone in the wilderness after
all the heroes fell and...
Right, that's probably the best way to put it. All the heroes fell and...
they were murdered.
Murdered.
No, they fell. They didn't have their life alert. So remember, you get to a certain age.
Yes.
I've fallen and can't get up. You need to have your life alert, folks.
And we're not making fun of the elderly.
No.
We're promoting life.
It's a public service announcement.
Get your life alert today. Call 1-800. Yeah, that was one of those, like, you see Logan in a very different way because he's riddled with guilt. He's done the best. He's done the thing that he's best at, and you know he shouldn't have done it. You know, he's always, I'm the best at what I am, what I do. Only this time I shouldn't have done it.
And the best of what I do, but it was the worst thing to do.
Right. And I love the way he's just traveling, and like the whole time you're like, who? What did you do? Like, you're more worried about what you did, what he did, than anything. Like, I don't care who you're fighting. I don't care that the ground's coming at you. I don't care that, whatever. What did you do?
Well, it also started off differently, too, just a little bit, because I was asking what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And then 3 issues in or whatever, I'm like, what did you do?
Right.
So it evolution to it until that big reveal. It's like, that was good.
Right. Yeah.
It paid off.
Why is the world like this? And it morphs into what did... Yep. Why did... Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So as far as like alternate futures or whatever, I think that was a really good one.
Yeah. Laura, what's next on your list?
I also picked out The Dreamer by Laura Innes. It doesn't exactly focus so much on specific historical figures, but this girl kind of goes back in time to the Revolutionary War. And she's concerned, like, number one, she thinks it's a dream. So she's like, does anything I do make a difference? But as she keeps having these, I don't know, hallucinations, dreams, she's not sure what's going on. But she's like, do I make a difference? Do I change the course of history? Am I changing the course of history? And it was a really interesting story. I believe it's still ongoing. When I went to it, it showed current issues, but I couldn't find a timeline for when they actually are happening.
See, I believe it's ongoing. It's usually released digitally first, isn't it? And then it gets usually collected in trade.
Yep.
The Dreamer? Yeah.
Yep. And I thought it was cool because Laura Innes has actually been at the store before. Yeah. Like, we've met her, and it was really cool. Sorry I've repeated this story before, but for new listeners, maybe.
And Adrian, who forgot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She, in the interview we had with her, she talked about the first comic she ever read, and she and I actually share the same first comic we ever read. It was some free thing from Pizza Hut, and it had some weird, like, Sergeant Slaughter kind of thing going on. Like, that was our introduction to comics. It's like, we got it for free. And then we're like, oh, let's keep going with this.
So free comic book day works to get people to read.
Mm-hmm. As long as it's through Pizza Hut.
Well, I mean, if you get pizza, I mean, definitely pizza helps with reading.
Mm-hmm. Pizza helps.
I remember pizza parties and when Pizza Hut would do like, hey, if you read so many books in school, they give you a free personal pan pizza.
Book it.
Book it, yeah.
It's and still, you got a little pin.
Do they? And you got a pin.
Yeah. Do you still get stickers?
3D pin.
Okay. Yeah, I got the maybe. Pin for the first one, and then every time you came back, you got a sticker to put on your pin.
Yeah, that sounds right.
It's like being a general. You got more stars.
For me, whenever, as soon as pizza got rid of their red cups, it's like, okay, it's a whole different business now.
Yeah,
like,
right.
It's not the same anymore. Like, I'm of that age. Like, I remember those red plastic Pepsi cups that they would always have.
Me too.
Any other quick things we have on our list we want to talk about real quick? Because we did hit time so far, but...
I just thought of one, and I can't think of the title of it. It's the Vampires in World War II story.
Oh, yeah. The Vein. Yep.
The Vein. Thank you. Yeah. I could not think of what it was called. But
you actually talked about that before a lot.
Yeah, that was good. I enjoyed issues. It. Yeah. Another one on my list was JLA, The Nail. It's Jonathan and Martha Kent get a flat tire from a nail in the road and never pick up Clark. And it's basically what happens to the DC universe without their Superman and what all happens.
So it's similar to Red Sun from that standpoint.
A little bit, yeah. A little bit, but it's not if the Russians found him instead. Right. You know, it was nail changed the whole thing.
From one to the nail, the kingdom was lost.
One that was on my list, Marvel 1602. Mm-hmm. Especially with the superhero, like, oh, what if the whole Marvel universe took place back then? And that was written by Neil Gaiman.
So. There was pirates in that, right?
I believe so.
Yeah.
There's pirates and everything good.
So were that
the
one,
X-Men witches?
Yes. Or at least everyone thought they were witches.
She's a witch.
Another random, I saw the Oppenheimer alternative, which I thought was funny to have another Manhattan Projects thing. And this one actually suggests that once you read it, you're supposed to go to the website and find out what's real and what wasn't. Like, they try to interweave the history so well that you're not even sure if it's historical fiction or historical fact.
Hmm. That actually sounds pretty cool. It's kind of interactive with it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And one last one I had on my list is kind of cheap. Marvel What If. Like, they'd always do.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
Everything
I thought
for
about
that.
DC Elseworlds.
Yeah.
So I had Ignition City. It's a... World War II was interrupted by a Martian invasion, and this is set in the 50s. DMZ, what was everyone's reactions during or after 9/11, and Manhattan becomes a demilitarized zone, and Uber, the Nazis successfully create an army of near unstoppable superhumans.
Yeah. So. Any other ones? Are we ready to move on, Adrian?
What was the one where the president would write a letter to the next president?
Letter 44.
Oh, letter 44. Yeah. Yes. Laura told me to read that. Yeah. I enjoyed that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd consider that like alternate history. Like, that's still alternate future, I think.
Right, right, right. Yeah.
Well, I mean,
but it was a good
historical.
Now it's history since I was the 44th president. It was definitely a Bush passing it on to Obama is what they're going for at the time.
Oh. See, I guess if they'd actually used their names, then I would have felt it that way, but
yeah, they used other names, but it was like, oh, this former president looks a lot like Bush. No. This new president looks a lot like Obama, and it's 44. It's the 44th president. So yeah, there's definitely a lot of
parallels. Play with that.
Yeah. So with that, we'll move on to books of the weeks, books that stood out to us the last few weeks. Laura, you went last with the first subject. How about you go first on this one with one of your picks of the recent weeks?
Okay. I think I'm going to steal Unleashed from you, if you're okay with that.
Yep, that's why I left it over there.
Yeah, honestly, I think I've only read like 4 comics over these last few weeks. Because I, unfortunately, when people call and say, oh, we're canceling, I'm like, yes, I'm going to sleep. It's not like I read ahead or do anything useful. I pass out. But anyway, so Unleashed was a fun story by, let's see if I can find their full names.
Is that the pet one?
Yes.
Yeah. The animal one? Oh, yep, Marvel, yeah.
Marvel
it has
Unleashed.
All the Marvel dogs and the Thor frog and everything. Yeah. Yep.
Kyle Starks, Jesus Haveras, Yen Nitro, and VC's Joe Carmanga. Or, sorry, I said that wrong, but I'm just going to let y'all figure it out. Anyways, it's kind of a animals can talk. And at one point, it's really funny because Jarvis, they all come to the Avengers because one of the dogs, let's see if I can find which one, Juniper. Juniper's owner is missing. So she runs into some other dogs as she's like trying to find help. And they all decide, oh, we should go to the Avengers because they can solve everything. And I think one of the dogs is related to the Avengers somehow. But anyways.
So the first dog she finds is Lucky, who is Hawkeye's dog. Okay. That's missing an eye. So that's why they end up going to Avengers Mansion, because he has clearance. Because
he knows the eye.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do find Jarvis, and Jarvis ends up talking to them like real people. And at one point he's like, why am I talking to you like you can actually understand me? And they're all like, because we do understand you. That's fine. But he doesn't know that they're telling him, yeah, thanks. You're very helpful. Well, you're very respectful. And thanks, Jarvis.
One of the animals even makes fun of, like, why are you other dog talking to him? He doesn't understand you either. Like, yeah, we can understand him, but he can't understand us. What are you barking at?
Yep. And they come across Red Wing, and I think he might be the one who's a little uppity, and he's like, I'm better than all of you, and I know what we're doing, and I'm the leader of this group. And they just kind of... they end up wandering a little bit, but they do stumble across a mystery. And I don't know. Is it long enough ago that we care about spoilers?
I mean, the second issue has not come out yet, so let's not give away full spoilers. Okay. But
is Cosmo in it? I think I'd asked you, but I don't remember what you told me.
Cosmo is not in this issue yet, but it is at least a miniseries going forward. So the characters in this one is that we know Lucky, Red Wing, and Captain Marvel's Flurkin,
the Flurkin's guy. Yeah, I was confused. I thought the Flurkin was called Goose, but they went by Chewbacca Sassy Danvers in this one.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, it could be another one.
That works even better.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Okay. Yeah, and Lockjaw was there for a minute. D-Dog was one of the people, or I should say dogs.
One of the characters.
Oh, yeah, characters. And yeah, they stumble across a whole group of people, and they're trying to find Juniper's owner.
It's teased with the next issue having the Thor Frog.
Yeah. So Throg.
Cosmo better show up. I thought that was one of the best things of the Guardians 3 movie was Cosmo.
Well, I mean, Cosmo's a good dog. So. Yeah,
it's a good, very good dog. Good
all right. Adrian.
I'm going to go with Barnstormers. I feel like it came out. Let me make sure I get this right. It came out originally in Comixology. It was a digital comic first. It's Scott Snyder and Tula Lote. It's called Barnstormers, A Ballad of Love and Murder. And it really is. Like, it's got a noir feel. It's very pretty. The art in it is fantastic. A down-on-his-luck pilot falls in love with a woman he shouldn't fall in love with. And she's in danger. So there's kind of a rescue to it. No, you shouldn't be chasing after a woman who's not yours. Don't do that. But she's in danger. So do that. Rescue her.
You shouldn't do this, but someone needs to, and you're the only one here.
Right. So the whole time, it's just a really great book. I think it came out originally last year, but it just came out this year in July in print. And then the last issue just came out on the 6th. So what? Oh, today.
Today.
It's a 3-issue mini. It's pretty. It's a really fun story. And I even like the bride. She just kind of like, you know, everybody leave me alone. I just need time to figure this out. But I'm falling in love with you too. And I shouldn't be falling in love with you too because, well, he might kill me. So maybe I am allowed to fall in love with you. It was just a really fun story. And I liked it a lot. I've been reminiscing a lot lately. Like, I just bought The Rocketeer and added it to my library just recently for the kids and I to watch. So it kind of along that string of
different era.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is another alternate history. Yeah. People with jetpacks during World War II or right before World War II.
Wait, but that didn't happen?
Yeah, right.
I don't know. I saw the Captain America movie. That seemed pretty.
Yeah, that was accurate. Yeah, okay. Yeah. But there were no jetpacks.
Oh, that was another one I should have mentioned as the Secret Empire with Hail Hydra. The Hail Hydra stuff.
Hail Hydra. Yeah, that was a good one. Only not.
It was weird.
It was a good topic for this situation.
Yeah, right.
Yes.
So Barnstormers.
There you go.
That was I really, really enjoyed that one.
All three issues are out, or just issue one?
All three issues are now out as of this week.
Cool. First one on my list is Sean Murphy's Plot Holes. If you are saying, hey, that name sounds familiar, but I can't quite figure it out. If you've read the White Knight stuff. That is the Murphyverse. This, just like the original White Knight, where he drew and wrote the story for it all. It's a story about characters that are formed an unlikely superhero team that they go through unpublished articles of literature and they try to make the story better. It's like, oh.
It's like me.
Kind of. So it starts out with this alien abduction, and the lady that's getting abducted is like, it's about time. Like, you guys are taking forever to get here, and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, okay, this is a weird starting. What's going on? And you quickly find out she's one of the superhero team that's trying to get rid of cliche stories that are horrible. Like, okay, this whoever wrote this and trying to get it published, they have potential, but they're screwing up with this, that, or the other. So it has her doing her thing. And the cast is a bunch of characters from different universes, different arts of fiction. So there's one of the guys is a manga character. One's like a beast animal. One's like a Calvin from Calvin and Hobbes.
I was just going to say that one looks like it's Calvin from Calvin and Hobbes.
But
it totally looks like an Arwing from Star Fox.
So it, so they do a lot of references in this book, which I enjoy as well. They actually have a DeLorean that goes through different dimensions because why not?
That's Gradius, the video game, the side-scrolling video game.
And one of the characters that they recruit in this is a guy that is a comic book writer that has that is a nerd and everything. So like, oh, well, we're saving you from your book that's failed because it's awful. However, we're going to make you join our team because you have all this pop culture knowledge. You'd be really good at this certain, you know, cause that we're doing.
It's a Gundam.
And you find out the reason why they're doing this is there's this mythical whatever. If there are so many bad things published, something bad will happen that'll end the whole universe and blah, blah, blah.
Someone else did something like this before recently.
Possibly. But it's really fun.
Crossover.
Yes, when the comic books were coming into the main world.
Yes.
Okay. This is them jumping through different unpublished fictions. And it was the first issue. I think it's only a 5 series. But I really enjoyed it. Yeah, there are pop culture things galore in this. I love the manga character where he's like, yeah, when he's talking to the new guy, like, yeah, you may feel sad about this, but this is how I came to be, where in my world, the whole like planet was protected by these mech suits, but you can only power them based off of your drifting ability with car drifting. And that's how you would steer and everything in the Pacific Rim. Well, and the guy that was recruiting is like, yeah, that's like 5 cliches just in one story. He's like, I know that's why my book didn't work. That's why I'm in this world and this team now.
Sure.
So it's very on the nose. They know what they're making fun of.
I kind of want to check out that Kickstarter book that's at the end of the book.
But yeah, it's again, if you like Sean Murphy, I highly recommend this. It's just a fun read that, yeah, if you're a nerd and like fun stuff, like most people who are listening to this, it's definitely worth checking out.
Yeah, I'm sad I didn't notice this in your stack. Was this from this week or last week? Okay, that must be what I did.
But yeah, highly recommend it. It is my favorite of the last, for a long time. It was really good.
You love this long time.
Yes. Jared, what is on your list?
Okay, I'm going to do both of mine at the same time because it's the Gotham War stuff. It's Gotham War Battle Lines and then the Gotham War Part 2. This is great.
Set the premise of what's going on with Gotham War.
We're coming off of the Night Terror stuff, and Bruce has been in a coma for, what'd they say, like 8 months?
2 weeks.
No, it's longer than that.
He was asleep for 2 weeks, but he was in a different dimension with the failsafe protocol.
That's right.
So it's peeing back a lot what's been going on with Batman.
Okay, yeah. He also lost his hand in that, and they're actually keeping that. I was surprised. I thought they would undo that with some stuff, but they're keeping his hand.
They're keeping him having lost his hand.
Yeah, keeping a hand on him.
Yep. But it's also more than that because it's a bat gadget too. It releases like a smoke bomb. Because of course,
why not?
Yeah,
if it's a utility belt that's always attached to your hand, yeah. So why not?
So, but in his absence, Catwoman has been training the henchmen to basically the entire Batman rogues gallery. They would
Freeze's henchmen, yeah, Riddler's henchmen, everybody's henchmen.
The henchmen that jump from one to the other, being promised riches and getting the crap kicked out of them, you know. So she's training them to be smarter criminals, steal from the rich. She's basically saying there's no score that is worth hurting somebody or getting hurt over.
She's Robin Hood, is what she's doing.
To a degree, she's saying, keeping it for themselves.
Well, but
there's
rob from the rich, and
right,
because a portion of it does have to go back to charities.
Right, 15%. They can only rob from rich people, and they have to give 15% of that to charities. Now, basically, violent crimes have dropped like 75% in Gotham because of this.
Because Bruce was MIA.
Right. So there's this morality piece where Bruce is unwavering, and I definitely see where he's coming from. Crime is crime. You don't get to pick who your victim is, basically, you know? And I totally get that. And he's right. It doesn't make it right. Even though there is violent crime, there's still crime happening. The amount of crime is not lowered. The severeness of it, I would say.
The severity of the violence. The violent crime has drastically decreased.
So it's got this morality issue where the Bat family is divided amongst themselves.
Like, we don't want to support a criminal, but also she's getting results.
Yeah, violent crime is down. So it's, they're all kind of leaning on the fence, and Batman's like, no, hard stance. I'm putting my foot down. This is wrong. You know, crime is crime. I'm stopping it.
It's very black and white with him.
Right. Yep. And I see where he's coming from. The one line that did stick with me is, you don't get to choose who becomes a victim. You know,
and
that's what they're doing. You know, which that's true. Yeah. But the superheroes letting Catwoman get away with this would be allowing them to choose who's a victim rather than a poor family.
They're exchanging a violent crime mob to a different mob boss. Like, it's still a mob boss no matter what.
Yep. So they're going to war, and Batman, he's lost his fortune already in previous Batman stuff, and more of that is going to happen in the current issue or come to light.
Yeah. Stuff's going down.
Great stuff. The ending to the part two, I was like, I want to see part three now,
Which I think that comes out next week. My only issue with it is it ping-pongs back and forth between Batman and the Catwoman series. But you have to get the Catwoman series then also for that.
Yeah, I will at this point because this is so good.
Yeah.
So, no problem.
But both of those together, I think the Gotham War Battle Lines came out, was it last week?
It was last week. I think it's a weekly series going back and forth. I mean,
I'm okay with that.
For this week's issue, look in the back of it for Batman. Does it say, do we continue next week? Or I think there's at least a checklist in it.
Yeah, there's a checklist in here. Let's see. Battle Lines, and then Batman 137 to Catwoman 57. And then there's Batman and Catwoman Gotham War Red Hood.
Okay.
So there's three issues coming in September.
So that
it looks like it's still fairly monthly.
Well, but there's three more issues coming out this month.
Yeah.
That's pretty much weekly.
It's pretty much weekly based off of that. Yeah. So. I thoroughly enjoyed those two together and can't wait for it to see where they're going. Batman's been solid. Chip Zdarsky's been doing really good ever since he took over.
So the failsafe and the dimension hopping was a little played out.
If you isolate those story arcs, they were good within themselves.
Yep.
And I think that's where he was going with that. Yeah. The individual stories where they're hopping from place to place, cause and effect.
Right. Laura, what else is on your list?
Okay, I'm going to kind of pick my Spider-Man because I also want to foreshadow. Am I allowed to reveal what our next pick of the week is? Or
book club.
Sorry. So last week, I guess it's been the week of August 23rd, whenever that was. Amazing Spider-Man 32 came out. And then this week, it's Amazing Spider-Man 33. Obviously, they're in order. So last time, Kraven was able to remove the sins of the Green Goblin from Dr. Kafka. Is she the Goblin Queen now? Or Queen Goblin?
Queen Goblin, I believe.
There's two different characters, and I got to keep this straight, and I'm not doing a good job. But anyways, in that previous story, they had extracted the goblin sins in trying to cleanse Dr. Kafka because she's somehow come into contact with Kraven, and he's decided that he's going to save her, and yada yada. I forget exactly how that came about, how they found each other.
It was messy.
Yeah, it was messy. But anyway, so they go and try to return the sins to Norman. They miss, and they accidentally hit Spider-Man. So now Spider-Man is, like, imbued with all the Green Goblin sins, and he's had enough. And he's like, you know what? I know, Kraven, that technically right now, I'm pretty sure this is really Alex, Kraven's clone son, whatever.
Kraven Jr. of sorts.
But he's like, I remember what your dad did. I remember the last hunt. I'm bringing it back. And so that's part of why we'd like to, next 2 weeks from now, read Kraven's Last Hunt to remember why this is so screwed up. And in Amazing Spider-Man 33, with all this anger and rage and feelings that aren't even his, he's like, but this reminds me how I should have reacted when Kraven basically, I think this is okay. Kraven buried him alive, took over his job as Spider-Man, and donned the black suit and went on a spree across New York. And so in 33, Spider-Man digs out the black suit and he's like, I don't know why I keep this, but I kind of know why I keep this suit. And he starts thinking about what he's going to do. And I don't want to give too much spoilers in this. Although, nah, I won't give spoilers. Yeah. There's other things that I'd forgotten about that they bring back up. And I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot that all those characters were there. That's enough of a hint, I think. But it's interesting. And it kind of reminds me, too, of the... Shoot, I forget what it was called now. It was like the Deadly Neighborhood Spider-Man. There was a miniseries recently where Spider-Man, I think didn't he kill the Hobgoblin or somebody?
I believe like, that's the Deadly Neighborhood, yeah.
Yeah, he basically doesn't have the same restraint he normally does. And that's a good parallel to this Spider-Man that's happening now. Like, what if he wasn't so friendly? What if he said, you know what, you guys have been screwing with me for a long time and you're about to feel some consequences. And so I'm really curious where they're going to go with this, how they're going to, if they're going to have to bring back Sin Eater to take away all those sins again and put them in another goblin entity. Like, what are they going to do?
We'll see what happens.
Yeah. So I'm excited for Amazing Spider-Man and to reread The Last Hunt and see what all you guys think of it, too.
There we go. Adrian, what is your other pick that stood out to you?
I don't remember when this one came out. It was The Call. It came out on the 16th.
3 weeks ago, I believe.
Yeah, got that in my notes.
That's C-U-L-L for the listeners.
Yes. Yep. So it's Kelly Thompson and Mattia de Illouis. I'm pretty sure I just butchered that name. I'm not typical. Horror is not typically my shtick to go to, but the first two pages were awesome. This place, I can't even remember the name of the cove, didn't always look like this. And the next page was a monster eating people with flowers or something. Like the flowers were sucking the people into itself.
I like what Laura said before. they go to Narnia. Of sorts.
I thought that was a spoiler.
To a degree, yeah. Well, it's 3 weeks ago, so we're fine.
It's 3 weeks ago, but there's a lot of, the book is a lot of setup. If I don't say that, then listeners might not get into it because there's a lot of setup to that.
Yeah. Well, and every page between the beginning and getting to Narnia was just character development.
Right.
Yep.
Who am I? Who do you even like me?
Where do they fit in the group?
What if?
Why are they even together?
Right. A little bit of mystery about what happened. We want to know that and everything there. The Call, its image, sci-fi horror, I think would be a good genre to put it in.
If you like Lock and Key, you will like this also.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's worth mentioning the one girl, her brother is missing. And like her whole family's kind of torn apart looking for
it. Sounds like everybody's got some direct connection to whatever happened that day.
Yeah,
they're all feeling something. Mm-hmm. So
it's only one issue out, but it was It's so pretty. The art is so pretty.
The art was good. It kind of reminded me, as much as I don't like the movie, it reminded me of Goonies.
I can see that too.
Some friends going on an adventure. Maybe we shouldn't because it's not going to be safe. I didn't like the one dad. It's like, are you seriously letting your kid just kind of go and not know what and I don't know the state of the world. Like, are the monsters never there again?
Right.
Or
is
whatever.
Is it like, a one-way portal or?
Yeah, right. Yeah. So there are things about the world that don't make any sense, but that's okay.
I'm okay with it not making sense. Like some of the things. Like,
issue one is allowed not to make sense.
Right. And there's a lot of things you don't have to explain because like, we'll just take for granted. Like, okay, it is what it is because you said so. Cool. Just as long as the story is compelling.
And some writers go way too much into that. Well, you see, the thing is green because the light with the mirror that doesn't matter at all is going to hit the stone that you walked by and you're never going to see that again. I don't care.
I don't care about the MacGuffin. I care about the story.
Right.
Yeah, one thing, too, one of the parents I remember said, is this person going to be here? Okay, I'm all right with you. Like
That was the same one. Okay. I didn't like that either.
Oh, see, I guess I was that kid as a kid. The parents were like, is Laura going to be there? Then you're fine.
Is it good influence they're going to be there? Then it's okay.
Yeah, I got a lot of people to be allowed to go out places maybe they shouldn't have because they're like, oh, Laura won't take you someplace wrong. Yes, I will. I'm just not going to tell anybody till 20 years later.
Testifying as someone went to the Middle East with her, I can confirm she may take you to somewhere that you shouldn't be. And that's a story for another day, folks.
Oh, yeah. We never did finish that the other night.
Yeah, that's okay. But The Call.
The Call.
Yeah.
I'm worried that it's called The Call because The Calling is very bad. Mm-hmm. A Culling is always very bad. Lots of people die. So I'm a little worried about where that. It's a 6-issue mini, I think.
I think it's about. I think it's a 6.
It's a 5-issue mini.
It's by Image Comics.
It's Kelly Image. Thompson. So it's pretty. It's a gripping intro. I'm really excited for issue 2. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
And my last pick of the week, which Jared would say is his as well.
Yeah, I'm going to double dip with you on that since I already did too.
Is Kill Your Darlings, issue number 1.
So
by Ethan S. Parker, Griffin Sheridan, and Robert Quinn.
And I'll preface this by I had no idea what this was. You told me to get it. It was your pick of the week, and it was really good.
I mean, I had no idea either until I picked up on the shelf and read it.
I read it and... Other than the Batman, this was the best thing that came out in my eyes.
So for me, the best way to describe this is it is I Hate Fairyland meets the Me You Love in the Dark. Is the best way I can.
Oh, that's really good, actually. It. Really yeah. Good.
Now I want it.
So it's this girl that she's playing with her stuffed animals, and like it starts with a fairy tale. Like, oh, she has her soldiers going against the evil soldier toys and whatnot. Then the next page is, oh, this is what. This is actually her, so she's imagining that.
Yep. Mom's in the office or in the kitchen.
With mom's dealing with adult bills, stress, and like, oh, I can't play with you because, you know, this is going on. But she keeps escaping to her little world. It goes back and forth between her world and the real world. But then something happens with one of her toys. She's like, wait, I didn't imagine this. Why did this happen?
Yes.
And stuff goes down. I don't want to go too far because it's a major thing.
And this just came out this week, right?
It just came out. Yeah.
But there's some foreshadowing. It's like, oh, once they're talking about them, like, oh, something's happening, you know.
Right. So you can tell. Like, it's almost as if, is she creating the world or is the world just translating to her sort of thing? Yeah. Like, is it inspiring her? Like, oh, I'm getting visions and that's what I'm drawing. Then I wake up from the blackout, like, oh, why did I draw this happening? Mm-hmm. And then you actually see what happened and whatnot.
Yep. Ends on a pretty big cliffhanger.
Yeah.
I gotta know what happens next.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when this issue 2 comes out, I will be getting this no matter what.
Yeah.
It's funny because you akin it to the Me You Love in the Dark, and I just took a look at issue 2, the cover of issue 2, and the eyeballs are there, like in the Me You Love in the Dark. I'm like, oh no.
It's watching.
I want to read this.
It was excellent. Yeah, I think you'd like it.
Yeah.
Go for it, Adrian. Read it.
It is very good. I was like, this is really solid. So
another little Easter egg. I loved after she goes to the kitchen and steals a whole bunch of aluminum foil and she makes it a prop in her world and she labels it the silver flame of the kitchen drawer. Yeah. And I loved how she spelled it kind of like Mordor.
Yeah.
And I just liked her maps and things.
It was there's a lot of little things with this, like, oh, that's pretty cool that they did it this way and that way. And at first, I was like, okay, kill your drawings. Like, I don't, sure, I'll see what this is. And then I read it, it's like, oh, this was really solid. I enjoyed this. Ooh,
there's more foreshadowing this. I didn't catch this one.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like the first few pages are actually, I assume, the Salem witch trials. So I figure that's...
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I forgot that happened, actually.
A backward foreshadowing, too.
More foreshadowing.
Yeah. So there's a lot going on in this. I really enjoyed it. I was like, when I read it, I was like, this is my pick of the week. There is no contest for me. So...
Yeah, I'd agree. This was better than the Batman books, and those were excellent.
Yeah.
So...
So with that, we'll move on to our book club section of the podcast. And Jared, just in case you don't spoil, what are we reading for next episode?
Kraven the Last Hunt.
Spider-Man Kraven's Last Hunt.
Whatever.
I mean, come on, man. She just said it like
Kraven's Last Hunt.
There you
I got
go.
Part of
there
it.
There you go.
You know.
So in the meantime, Manhattan Projects Volume 1. This was my first time reading it all the way through. Adrian, this was your first time reading it, too, I believe?
The Manhattan Project?
Yes.
Yeah.
And both of you had read it before, right?
I had read Jared it before once. Yeah, I think Laura told me to read it a couple years ago. And I was
sorry.
Like, okay.
So yeah, it's issues 1-5. I imagine you can tell by our discussion so far, it was not the best thing ever that we've read.
It wasn't the worst thing ever. I think the idea of this book was... better than the execution.
I didn't like the art at all.
I wasn't a fan of the art. The art was a turn off.
I didn't like the art, but I did like the way they showed good and evil of the different colors. I did like that part of it, at least.
Yep, you could tell what was going on very easily.
There were artistic things that I enjoyed about it.
Yes.
I did not enjoy the art.
Yeah.
The story.
The overall concept of this story was the Manhattan Project of developing the atomic bomb was a cover.
For all supernatural
fringe
everything.
Sciences right. And everything. I think they actually call fringe tools or fringe sciences in there at one point. Extra dimensional.
AI.
Aliens. AI. This was all during the Manhattan Project and everything like that. That's basically the best way to really describe this story. It's just fringe sciences being covered up by the Manhattan Project. Einstein's there, Oppenheimer.
And other people that I don't know as well.
I'm okay.
I can't think of them now. Whatever.
With like changing history for fun, like just to like
and just random sci-fi, even like
right.
Sure.
But there were things about the one Oppenheimer that I'm like, ew, gross. I just
the fact that he would eat things to absorb their souls.
Yeah. Well, no, that was his twin brother.
That's still an
who
Ann
had
Oppenheimer.
Killed the. Robert Joseph. Oppenheimer.
He was the evil one.
Yeah, he was the evil twin, pretty evil much, twin. And kills Robert and takes his place on the Manhattan Project.
Yeah.
It
was still weird.
Yeah. It was completely not necessary when you're doing a cover-up story about the Manhattan Project. Building the atomic bomb, that's the cover.
Right.
You know what I mean? As secretive as that was, and then you're doing fringe sciences beyond that. You don't need that much.
Like, they still could have had done that story. They just don't need the element of like, oh, well, he's an evil version of it. Like, he could have just been himself and still just in the scenario of everything.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like, he still could have been evil. We just don't need the evil twin aspect of it.
Yeah, we didn't
just
need any of the background or anything. And there was a lot of fluff in this compared to actual story.
Yeah, the whole Nazi scientist arc that was unnecessary. This one scientist killed all the other scientists just so he can join the allies. Like, oh, well, I'm the only one that has the knowledge, so you have to take me. You can't just kill me. Like, using that leverage, like, I'm just gonna jump to the end. It was okay. I'm not gonna read the next volume. I don't feel any.
Oh, same here.
Compelling.
I couldn't get to. And what I think what was more disappointing is that it's Hickman. I like Hickman. I like what he writes, but
Until now.
Until
well, I think Hickman does better when he has guidelines. Like, hey, because when he does Marvel stuff, like, you can only do so much because it's a big corporate entity.
Yep.
Versus this, like, oh, you can literally do whatever you want. Well, that can be a problem for some people.
Sure. Right.
Sure. Yep, and then you get plot holes, which is okay, but.
That, and it felt like when he was writing this, he's like, oh, I'm going to go back and change that to do this. I felt like there was a lot of, like, no one knew where the story was going, and they just kept throwing crap at it.
Well, and there's potential with the whole setup of, like, okay, the Manhattan Project is a cover-up for all these secret society, cult, like, whatever. Like, okay, well, that's interesting. Okay, what were you going to go with that?
The concept is the best thing about this.
Yes.
You know, the concept was great. Mm-hmm. Your Manhattan Project, the atomic bomb, one of the most significant scientific discoveries or experiments, whatever you want to call it, in the world, was a cover. You know, that's a great concept.
Sure.
Poor execution.
I think you just went too far too quick.
The alien worlds that teleport in. So the monks that have to keep the portal open.
I liked this as much as I liked Saga. But at least with Saga, they took the time to dish everything out appropriately, right? And you guys know I didn't like Saga.
Right.
But I could appreciate it for what it
the
was.
The stuff that was there for a reason.
Right, right. And here it's like, oh, good Lord, this is 5 issues. This is way too much stuff.
Right. And there was just stuff that just randomly showed up, like the dude with the nuclear head.
Yeah. Where did he come from?
Where did he come from? Who is he?
I mean, I'm curious. I'm curious about him, but.
But they just.
Enough to care?
He felt like he was inserted into the story to get to a point.
Just to so he can burst the bubble so he can kill the whole other people.
Right. That's the only reason I felt that he was introduced into this story. Because even the second time through, I'm just like, he just shows up.
Yeah.
Like, he wasn't even mentioned that I could find or anything like that beforehand. It's just like, oh, well. Like,
they could have said, okay, he was exposed to radiation beforehand. And that's what, you know, the inspiration for the nuclear bomb.
They could have talked
A one-liner, something like that.
Right.
Or they could have talked about him in another, like, hey, don't be like, you know, the guy. Because. When you meet him, you're going to be in for a shock.
You know Bruce Banner? This is what really happens.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Like, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I assumed that that guy was famous for his work with radiation or something. I didn't Google him. It could be.
I did. Like, yeah.
I think we were supposed to know a little
bit. Yeah, I feel like a lot of these characters are
people
if you actually look at the history of it, you would probably, oh, this is what he's going for with that and this.
Yeah, they are.
But that's... For the story, I think that's too much homework needed for this. Mm-hmm. Those characters aren't popular enough that we, like, okay, George Washington, okay, we don't need to do it. We know who he is. We're good. Right. Like, that's a main character. These guys, like, okay, they're D-list character history notes. Like, I don't know.
Ouch.
I mean, it's only if you go specifically on the Manhattan Projects would you know these characters, though. Right. But if you're not...
Gotta argue a little bit.
Who
like
the stenographer?
Some of them are like famous physicists.
Well, I mean, yeah.
But so I guess, yes. So, yeah, the Manhattan Project is more...
Right, but who was the
chemistry and physics majors from school?
Right.
Like, they, if you take a chemistry class, they usually make you learn about a lot of these guys.
Right,
sorry.
But who's...
sorry to burst a bubble
there. There's a lot more involved in it, too, and... Yeah, I guess I
It could have been better written, but like... I'm just saying there is a niche of society that I represent that I've heard all these names. I forgot who they were, but if I did a quick Google search, it probably would say, oh, they were famous for these things, and that's why that's their representation.
And I appreciate that reference, but I think it's still too subtle for the, the mass.
They should have made it better.
I bet that the radiation guy probably has something to do with actually that in history, but I don't know.
At the end, there's a cast listing, and they should have put that at the beginning of the book.
That would have been cool. Yeah.
I did like that.
Especially, this is where they're from. This is what they did in the real world. And even, not necessarily at the beginning, like beginning of each chapter, where it said, hey, we're about to introduce this character.
Sure.
This is their historical significance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of like the X-Men does that now. At the very beginning, it's got that little
the Krakoa stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, that would have been cool. I mean, it just needs some tweaking, I think, at that point. Overall, the story I thought was fine. Just like you said, a lot of fluff to it. A lot of inside baseball for the Manhattan Project itself, which there's an audience that appreciates. I mean, it lasted 4 or 5 volumes, so it lasted a while.
Yeah, it does. There are portions of it that get better. Like eventually, Laka, the dog from Russia that goes to space, is there and she can speak and she's kind of like, yeah, she's their Cosmo equivalent. And she makes the story during that point. And so it's, there is a highlight at some point. But yeah, it takes a lot to get to it. And I admit, when we watched Oppenheimer and I was like, I remember this story. I remember not really liking it, but I'm willing to give it a second shot to see how it evolves with this extra information I have now. And I do think that that helped a lot with the insider baseball. Watch Oppenheimer first, and then you read this, and you're like, oh yeah, all those names are real people, and they had this little bit of back history, so that helped some.
There are other books that we've read for this podcast that I could not get through. This one I was able to get through. I was like, okay, because it was a fast enough, it was fluff, but it still was a fast read.
Right.
So
I wouldn't rate this at our lowest rating or anything like that.
I guess I'll kick off that part where I'm giving it a 2 out of 5. It was fine. It was not okay. Because you need to have the inside baseball knowledge of the Manhattan Project to really appreciate it, I think, is why I'm giving it a 2, because it's not a mass appeal to everybody. Like, oh, it's okay. But if you really like that world, then you'll probably, oh, I see what you do with this character, that character, whatever. So I think I can appreciate that.
But I think they went so far off the rails with the real characters, with the real people, that you kind of almost, okay, here, it's a physicist, right?
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. But I'm giving it a 2. Jared?
I'm going to go 3. If I were to just base off of what it was, I would say a 2. But I really liked the whole concept behind, you know, the big picture. Like I said, the nuclear or the atomic bomb was the cover story. The fringe sciences were the main object of this story. I liked that concept really well, and I think they could have done a really good job with it, but I think they fell short of the mark. So I'll give it a 3 for the concept alone.
Okay. Adrian?
2. Solid 2. Just solid number 2.
Bear down on that.
It's not unbearable, but it's not...
And I'm being generous, I think, because you know me.
No, you said solid, so...
Yeah. The art.
The art was...
The moment as soon as I saw the general guy, I was like...
Bleh. Yeah.
I almost wondered if you were supposed to be a little turned off by him, though. If it was supposed to be disgusting.
But then you do that with everybody.
Yeah, but they are for everybody, yeah.
No, I get for the aliens, sure. That works, too.
Yeah, it worked fine for the aliens.
The starving monks that were keeping the portal open, sure, fine. But even, like... Einstein was like, it still looks, he still looks sickly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like a bobblehead, like a normal Einstein head and a sickly skeleton body underneath is what it looked like to me.
A Funko Pop.
A Funko, yeah.
You know? And if all of that was meant to say something, okay, I couldn't see it. I couldn't.
Yeah.
I couldn't find it.
Again, this was a lot of setup, though, since they've done multiple volumes. So, I don't know. Laura, what would you rate it?
I'm also going to give it a 3. I admit I did not enjoy it even the first time, really. I liked the title. I liked the concept, like Jared said, and I was like, I'm kind of a completionist, so since I started in on it, I was like, well, I'm going to see it through. And once I put something on my pull list, you guys keep pulling it for me. So I'm like, oh, there that is again. All right, I guess I'll read it. At the time, I had a little more time. And yeah, so I have all of this. I can... If you ever decide you want to delve into more, we've got it.
That's optional.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely, like I said, when we watched the movie Oppenheimer, I was like, I've got a comic book on this. I don't remember it being good, but no, I'll give it a second shot.
And you do not have a comic book on Oppenheimer.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Oppenheimer's brother. I was kind of relieved, I admit, because I remembered not really liking it, and I kind of had a bad opinion of Oppenheimer over it. And then when I reread it, I was like, oh, wait, this was his fictional twin brother that I don't like. He's fine. Although, even in the movie, he was still a little
I mean, even sketch. In real life, he was not great.
Yeah, although, I don't know. Sorry, that's a discussion for the movie another time. But there were things I was like, oh, okay. Like, I can see why it ended up that way. It's kind of a physicist personality flaw, I think.
Yeah.
Which maybe that's another reason why all these names, all this stuff coming up, I'm like, yeah, that's what physicists do. Like I said earlier, there's like a niche market for this, and if you are someone who studies a decent amount about chemistry and physics, like some of this will pop up and you'll be like, oh, you'll get more of the the references.
It'd be Captain America. I understand that reference.
I understand that reference.
Yeah.
So with that, that is our take on Manhattan Projects Volume 1. Laura, what book are we reading for next episode?
I'm going to read Kraven's The Last Hunt. I guess Spider-Man.
Spider-Man's
Kraven's Last Hunt.
Yeah. I forget. Was that an Amazing or?
It crossed over between Amazing and regular, I think.
It was mostly good.
I just got that. I'm a little slow.
It's been a day.
Okay. It's been a few weeks.
So with that, speaking of being a day, we're going to move on to the final matter of the podcast.
Don't worry, I pulled a Jared too.
And that is Heroes of the Week, comic book or otherwise. Does anybody have one or should I go first?
Go first. Oh, you have one?
You can go first.
Ladies, go first.
Laura can go first.
I planned this out a while ago because I texted my boss the other day. Preface to that. I was having trouble with my tablet at work, and it's like my security blanket. It has all the information I ever need in it, and I was really upset when it stopped working correctly. So I had emailed the IT guys, and I had to ask a whole bunch of people about it, and eventually my supervisor, Alyssa, she took it in, and I envision her like going down the hallway, busting down the door, and being like, fix this tablet for me, guys. But also, like, one of our other girls had their tablet break within a week, too. So I'm like, she probably was dual wielding, brought down both tablets. And I'm like, my texts need to work. Fix these tablets. So when she texted me whatever day and said, hey, I got your tablet to work, I texted her back and I was like, I'm going to make you my hero of the week when we do our podcast now. Thank you. So this was my exchange for getting my tablet fixed at work. Now she's my hero of the week.
There you go. I'll go next since I'm ready. I'm a fan of professional wrestling, and unfortunately, one of the wrestlers died recently. Bray Wyatt, his real name is Wyndham Rotunda. He died at age 36. So he's an active wrestler. He had an illness for a while. He was supposed to wrestle at WrestleMania. They pulled him from the card due to an illness, an undisclosed illness. Then a couple weeks ago, he had a heart attack and died. They said the illness really wiped his body, and then die of a heart attack. And like I said, he was an active wrestler. He's the first active WWE wrestler that has died, probably since Chris Benoit, which
2004.
Yeah, era? Which I mean, that's a whole other scandal with that one. But this one was just he was sick. They were prepping for his return and everything. They're like, okay, internal talks about he's getting healthier, he's good to go. He was at home with his family. He's like, hey, I'm going to lay down, take a nap. Took a nap, had a heart attack, and died. So, like, that was just the amount of outpouring from the entire wrestling community, too, has just been astonishing. So, Wyndham Rotunda, a.k.a. Bray Wyatt. Next.
My neighbor. His name is Michael. His wife's name is Susan. Last week? Last week the tree came down? A tree that's growing off of my tree in the backyard. Because when it was down, it's like, oh. That's not a branch. That's another tree. So it's what's it called when you have like another, when your twin is attached to you?
Conjoined.
Yeah, it was like a conjoined tree. And he was like, no, I'll chop it. I've done this for years. This is his first year being retired from Elida Schools. And he's like, no, I'll cut it. I know about trees. I know how they roll when they get twisted like that. And he explained it like, when a tree will fall like that, sometimes what you see is it twisted, but you can't tell that it's twisted. So when you cut at a spot, it'll twist back violently and roll.
Right.
Right. So
the way its center of gravity is and everything can be deceiving.
So I started with what I could with my little battery powered cobalt. And he's like, nope, from here on. And we got to a certain point, and he's like, from here on, I'll take it from here. I'll do it on Monday. I'm like, okay. So he also heats his house with wood still. And so I'm like, whatever you're going to do with it, you can do whatever the heck you want with it because it's your tree now. You chopped it. You get it.
You earned it.
So, yeah.
All right, Jared, we bought as much time as we could.
We go with Dave Filoni, who's writing the Ahsoka series, who did Clone Wars, who did Rebels. He's a good Star Wars storyteller, and he's my hero of the week.
All right. So with that, we'll say thank you for listening, everybody, and we'll see you all next time.
Okay, now. Goodbye. Bye. Bye. Bye.
Okay, I got nothing on the Hero of the Week.